Hi, this is Mark, and welcome to an introduction to Mobile Geo, Code Factory's new GPS solution for the visually impaired using Windows Mobile wireless devices. To learn more about Code Factory and its revolutionary product offerings, including MobileSpeak, go to www.codefactory.es. That's CodeFactory dot E as in Edward, S as in Sam. Or you can send an email to sales@codefactory.es. We also invite you to participate in our blog at codefactoryblog.wordpress.com. codefactoryblog.wordpress.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter by searching for the username CodeFactory. And now, an introduction to Mobile Geo.
Welcome back to the Code Factory podcast. If you're listening to this podcast, most of you already know that Code Factory is the manufacturer of MobileSpeak, which is a screen reading application and also Braille interface for Windows Mobile and Symbian wireless devices, pocket PCs, and phones. And today, we're going to be focusing on the latest project from Code Factory, which is Mobile Geo. And I'm fortunate enough to have three of the beta testers for Mobile Geo on board with us today. And they are Mr. Jim King, David Pullman, and Courtney Tater. Gentlemen, welcome on board.
Thank you.
Okay, Jim, you there?
Thank you.
Okay, yeah, okay. If each of you would tell us what your primary wireless device is and any peripherals that you make use of it. This is just for the device themselves. I guess, David, you can start.
Okay. I use a Pantech Duo or 1080C, and I use with Mobile Geo, I use a Royaltek BT2001, sorry.
Okay, that's all right.
And I also use a Brilliant 24 Bluetooth Braille display and a KeyMaestro Braille input keyboard.
That Pantech, is that for Sprint? That's a Sprint phone?
This case it's AT&T.
Okay, it is an AT&T phone, and it's a pocket. That Razr is a pocket PC. No, it's a pen. That's a phone, right?
It's a Windows Mobile phone.
So Windows Mobile running Windows Mobile standard. Okay, sounds good. And does it have a built-in GPS as well as the external one that you have?
No, it doesn't.
Okay. Okay, Courtney?
Okay, I'm Courtney Tater. I primarily use the Sprint Mogul. You know, I guess the Mogul says it's
okay, on. You're the Sprint guy. I knew we had one Sprint guy on board.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember who it was. Okay.
I'm the Mogul.
There you go. You're the Mogul. All right.
So it's a pocket PC. You know, it pretty much gives you a wide range of possibilities. Of course, Windows Mobile 6.1 Pro.
So you've already updated to Windows 6.1. Okay, that's good. And you upgraded that manually. Okay, that's great.
Long time ago. So I primarily use the internal receiver.
Okay.
It was into the mobile, which is only available after the, I think it's the 3.35 firmware, I think.
Okay.
But it's there. But in order to get the GPS capabilities, you have to install the latest firmware.
Okay. That's good. No.
Also use a M1000 sometimes, but firmware is internal.
Okay. That's good. And Jim?
I have a Verizon phone. It's the Verizon XD6800,
okay,
which is pretty similar to the Mogul from Sprint.
Okay.
It runs Windows Mobile 6.1, and I use a Holix M1000 GPS receiver, Bluetooth headset, which is a Plantronics Explorer Model 370, and also occasionally I use a ThinkOutside Slim keyboard, the Stowaway model.
Okay, the small one,
which is Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm.
The headset I use, I picked that particular headset because it's rated for heavy-duty outdoor use. It can, you can actually submerge it in water.
Good Lord.
And it won't hurt it at all.
Right. It's so, water. I never heard of it. It's not waterproof, but it's water-resistant.
Yes, it is.
It's waterproof.
Yes, you can dump it right in the water and then
my
pull
goodness.
It out and put it back on, and it'll continue to work.
Does your phone do the same thing?
No, the phone doesn't do the same thing.
Okay, all right.
I did select that headset because
yeah.
when you're in inclement weather, you know, a lot of times you can cover up your phone, but you're
the headset, yeah.
Even with a hat, you're still going to get something in your headset.
You know, that's a very
good
point.
I also use a Holics M1000 Bluetooth receiver. It's not waterproof, but
okay.
you can wear it inside or under your coat, and it'll work just fine.
All three of you are on the East Coast, and I'm in California, so you have to deal with rain and all kinds of weather, and I don't, so I take it for granted. But that's a good point. It would be important to have something to protect that Bluetooth or headset whenever you're outside. We're going to talk about Mobile Geo, and David, you would like to explain to people what it is?
Mobile Geo is a product from Code Factory that provides information utilizing Sendero maps and uses a GPS receiver to provide and provides information from a GPS receiver such as where you are and how fast you're going and what direction you're going in and you know what you're passing by and that kind of thing.
Yeah,
and so it uses GPS receiver in conjunction with maps. It's what's commonly referred to as a GPS system. And what Code Factory has done is made it work with mobile speak so that it talks, and has a lot of features that are customizable and some really useful things that are specifically targeted for people who need speech or and/or braille output for this type of device.
And I think the one thing that Code Factory takes great pride in, and they should, is that Mobile Geo will work with many, many off-the-shelf wireless devices. It's not tied to any one specific hardware. I didn't tell people what I use. I have a Samsung Blackjack 2, and I just upgraded it to Windows 6.1. Definitely worth the upgrade for those of you who are wondering whether you should upgrade or not. And I have a couple of the GPS receivers. It does come with an internal receiver. We're going to talk about different types of receivers versus, you know, the internal versus the external. Primarily when I'm navigating with Mobile Geo, I will use the external because it seems to be a little more accurate, quite a bit more accurate. So it's nice to have an internal GPS receiver, but if you can get your hands on an external one, by all means do so. What do you think someone can expect? The average user, they have their phone, they have Mobile Speak, and this is, by the way, an additional product to Mobile Speak.
Right, like a plug-in.
Exactly.
Yeah, perfect analogy, I guess.
And it's sold as a separate item.
Right.
But just like Mobile Speak, it does make use of the, user-centered licensing. So you can move it from device to device of the same type as often as you'd like once you purchase it. So it's not tied to the original device for which it was purchased, which I think is really nice. So anyway, okay, so I'm an average user. This is not a tech support call, podcast, so I don't want to really discuss about, you know, how to install it. That'll be for the tech support people. But for us, let's assume we've got it installed. And we go to our respective menus on the phone, and we see Mobile G, and we press it. What can the average user, Courtney, expect in the beginning?
Well, Code Factory, you know, they've built a reputation for being, you know, providing a product that's easy to use, user friendly. It's, you know, pretty intuitive. So a lot of the stuff that you'll find relatively easily. Even if you haven't read the documentation or anything like that.
I guess when you launch the program, what's the experience? What will come up on the screen?
Well, okay, the first time you launch Geo, you will be presented with a dialogue prompting you to configure your GPS receiver.
Okay.
Actually, there are some phones which, during installation, Jio will configure automatically.
You mean during the installation process? Okay.
Sure. But for the other devices, you'll be able to configure it right off the bat. You know, Jio is going to tell you that, okay, since this is your first time running mobile Jio, it's going to prompt you to configure the GPS receiver.
Okay.
Then after that, you know, you'll be placed on the main screen, which will contain, you know, stuff that's normally or frequently used, such as your position, address, etc.
Okay, so you're saying, assuming that the GPS is working, it's going to take you to your current position, like where you are in space in terms of...
Okay, right, sorry, yeah, okay. First, it's going to, of course, yeah, I was jumping, and you know, I didn't want to go step by step. So after acquiring satellites, right, assuming that you selected a correct port and all that for the GPS, it's going to then tell you the first thing you're going to see on your screen, on the main screen, or if you know how to get, you know, that information from a command, it's going to tell you your current position, which I would think that will be one of the most important things. Then by scrolling down the screen.
Okay, so you're going to, yeah, this is very good. You're going to be using this up in, so it's kind of like in a list box, because I know a lot of people are going to wonder who've never used GPS, right? They're going to think, well, when am I going to see? You know, they could be a little bit nervous. I know I was when I first saw it. So information is presented in a list box?
On the main screen.
On the main screen, okay.
You know, when you first get in a program, it's going to, you know, the standard, you know, the typical Windows, notification where it's a left size, left soft function, right soft menu, etc.
Okay.
So then you'll know, okay, by pressing these soft keys, I'll be presented with my menu options. So, you know, that's also one good way where Jio will, you know, help you, to not have to remember every command.
Well, I think the first thing that the user will experience, assuming that the program is already installed on their device and they go out for their very first test run, what will happen is they'll be presented with a screen that gives them their current position, including information such as the address, the street you're on, the city you're in, and longitude, latitude. For people who are interested in that's the type of information that somebody will see immediately. Then if you don't do anything to the device, you just say, okay, well, I'm going to stick it in my pocket and take a walk. What will happen is, as you're walking along, you'll be getting information about intersections that you cross and points of interest that you are near. There'll be all kinds of local businesses. There's over a million points of interest that are in the database or in your phone right now for places in the United States.
Right.
So if you have a McDonald's or a Pizza Hut or a Walmart in your neighborhood, as you walk near, it will tell you that you're so many feet away from where it's designated on the map.
And also, it also gives you the ability to look up the information like the actual address and the phone number so you can call it too, correct?
Yeah, and I think one of the really nice features of Mobile Geo is the fact that information, and there's a feature where you can actually have Mobile Geo place a phone call to that business.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Right, exactly. Right from that particular.
One other thing you'll see on the front screen is the nearest point of interest. When you first get it up and running, you know, it'll have information that's already been described. It also has the nearest point of interest, and that's actually a very interesting and can be a very enlightening thing, because, you know, some people don't know what the closest building or business or whatever.
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
Okay, narrative section.
I guess I'd also like to add to what Dave and Courtney were just saying about points of interest, and that is you can be in your neighborhood for many years and, as a blind person, not be aware of many of the small businesses, especially home-based businesses.
Agreed.
In your town or in your neighborhood.
Or there's little strip malls, too. Sometimes you have strip malls you go past, yeah.
That's right. If you let's say you ride to work on a daily basis with somebody and you just turn on mobile G, you'll find out that there's a lot of things along the way that you were not aware of.
Yeah, it's true.
I guarantee it.
That's absolutely
so,
true.
So it's a very enlightening kind of device as well.
Yeah, one I think very significant I think breakthrough for Geo would be the inclusion of vibratory alerts. I think it's safe to say that there are no other GPS systems with that feature.
You're talking about, okay, so in other words, for the smartphones, you can get
exactly.
Vibrations, yeah. The phone will actually vibrate.
Exactly.
But that's not true for the Pocket PCs at this point, right?
Right. That's because of Microsoft limitation and not Geo.
Okay, good. That's good to distinguish.
Right.
What you should be aware of is that the vibrations are in Morse code.
Exactly, and
that's how they distinguish between one type of vibration and another.
Right, and I think that's going to be a very important feature for someone who is hearing impaired, actually.
But what's neat is if you know, for example, that you know your city change is.
Three, yeah.
You're like, oh, my city
three dots.
Changed.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Well said. That's very good. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a big deal. You know. That's an enhancement.
Yeah, that's. I'm glad you brought that up, Courtney. That is unique, and I think it's going to distinguish Mobile Geo from a lot of other products. And I also want to mention before I forget that, and this I found this amazing, is that Mobile Geo can already be used in over 20 languages, which I find just amazing. So we get into Mobile Geo, we have a list screen, and of course, MobileSpeak will be running alongside it, so you have complete access to the interface. Now, again, I don't want to get too technical, but assuming, again, the GPS, let's cover this GPS about the internal and external. As you know, the Blackjack 2 does have an internal GPS receiver. And which one do you have a phone that also has one? The Pantech, right, Jim?
The Mogul.
I'm sorry. You get the big one. You got the big boy. I forgot.
I think Jim, who's got the Verizon?
I do.
Okay.
I do. This is Jeff.
It does have one, but Verizon, they've, for whatever reason, restricted access to it. But there are workarounds, which, again, that's a technical thing.
Right, I understand. Okay,
it's
so...
It's a fine workaround.
Right, but for those of us who have an internal GPS, I want to make it very clear that you're not going to get the accuracy because of the size of the transmitter, right, David? David knows a lot about... Is that true?
Basically, it's exposure. Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, I was gonna say because I use it quite a bit. Sure, it's not.
But you have a Mogul. The Mogul's a power phone. Let's be honest. Anybody knows, the Mogul is that's a
okay,
holy.
I thought you were referring to internals in general.
No. Yeah, in general. Yes. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So you know, just like with anything else, you have to differentiate. Of course, different devices have different capabilities, limitations, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So in general, yeah, based on your device, you're going to experience different accuracy scale and stuff like that.
So now the Mogul is a PDA. Is that right? Okay. So, yeah, I guess the general rule of thumb is because PDAs tend to be a little bit more powerful than the smartphones. So certainly where the smartphones are concerned, you're going to get a better, a more accurate reading if you have an external GPS. What do you guys think the average price of a GPS receiver for people who may be wondering? $50 these days? $60?
The best one that's recommended, you know, that's been tested even by Sendero is the M1000, which I think you can get for $30-$40.
Yeah, I remember when they were over $200. So we're not talking a huge investment for those of you who are wondering, well, you know, I get a phone and I got to get a GPS. So, because when I'm using my Blackjack, the best I can get in terms of accuracy, even with 7 or 8 satellites, would be around 100 feet, I think. And which is a big, you know, for a person who can't see, that's a lot. But when I use the...
Oh, well.
Yeah, that's huge, isn't it? Might as well be a different country.
Yeah, Yeah, I get like 20 feet with my mogul.
Again, yeah, but you got the mogul. You got the powerhouse. You know, I'm talking about little bitty smartphone.
Right, right. I get
25 with my Realtek.
You get
right, so you know, we need to differentiate with the pros and cons, because you know, if there is no need, if all you want to do is have one device, you know, to handle your needs, and if it works, no need to buy an extra baggage, you know.
Right. No, that's a good point. That's a good point. And I want to make it very clear also that when I do use the external GPS receiver, and a GPS receiver, it fits in your hand. I'd say it's about the size of the old-style pagers, although some people may not even know what they are. But it fits comfortably. You can put it in your shirt pocket. They're very, very small. But when I have when I use either one of my GPS receivers, I'm getting down to, I think, what, 10 feet, 10 to 15 feet? So the accuracy is greatly enhanced when you have that. So just... like you said, if you want one piece of equipment, but you know, to put something in your pocket or in your purse or somewhere in the car or whatever, it's not a big sacrifice, especially for the added accuracy.
I guess one thing that we might want to point out here is that the scale that we're looking at when you're using Mobile Geo. And Mobile Geo will tell you how accurate your satellite reading is.
Right.
And the lower the number of feet, the more accurate it is. Whereas the higher number of satellites that it's looking at, the more accurate your reading is.
I got to tell you, that's one of the nicest things I like about Geo is the fact, and I know it's not like an infomercial, but you got to give credit where credit's due, is that it does tell you the accuracy. I've never seen that in anything before. I love that. Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry.
Actually, the other assistive technology, GPS, does that, but for the most part, you know, Geo got them beat, I think.
Yeah, I've never seen it in any other one, but that's good. I mean, it should be. We need to know how we can count on it. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. We have to be clear also, but for the most part, it's gonna outshine, I think, most of the existing GPS, especially for blind consumers.
There are three ways you can use Mobile Geo.
Okay.
You can use it in a vehicle, you can use it walking, and you can use it to actually travel without going anywhere by, you know, walking through the map.
Oh, yeah.
Walking through a map. Mm-hmm. You can set a starting point, virtual starting point. It's called virtual mode. You set a starting point, and you can literally walk around that area. So I can be sitting here in my chair in Maryland, and I can walk over to Mark's house, you know, bring up my California map and walk right on over there and tap him on the shoulder there.
It's absolutely amazing. Yeah, no, it's amazing. It really is, and
others do this, but to have a device that does this, you know, with so many other things in such a small package is just phenomenal. And I'm really impressed with the fact that it does all the things that we come to associate with systems, you know, that are, you know, navigation systems for the blind.
And it should be noted also that you can still get a phone call while my Mobile Geo is running.
Yeah,
let's not forget that, guys. People say, what about my phone? Because, you know, I was worried about that. Right, yeah, you can still get and in fact, you can minimize Mobile Geo while it's running and continue to operate with the device, calendar, task, whatever you're doing. And still have the Mobile Geo giving you feedback as to where you are.
Yeah, to expand on that, actually. This, again, I think is another first where, you know, other devices I've seen, GPS, especially for the blind, you can use other tasks while it's running in the background. However, I don't think there is any other system that will allow you to actually interact while you're in another application.
That's a very good point.
Actually, there is. But what sets Geo apart is, this is David, by the way. What sets Geo apart is that it interacts with some features of your phone as well. So, for example, earlier we were talking about being able to dial a number, and that's as simple as, you know, bringing up the address of the point of interest that you want to dial on the screen. Finding the phone number and hitting a key, and it dials the number for you. I mean, so So that's a very interesting, you know, interactive thing with your phone. And of course, your GPS with Geo is going to depend on your mobile speak volume and speed and that sort of thing. So it's going to be tied in, you know, that way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's integrated in, you know, in that respect.
I'm in my email. Geo's still running, but I want to know where my current position is. So I just hit, you know, since I have a pocket PC, I just tap the top left of the top left on my screen.
Right.
I know where my position is. So
I think that's a
new and enhancement. I think that's what's called true multitasking. Because I ride the bus from work to home every day. It's, you know, pretty time consuming, so I can still go through my emails while my GPS is running.
Let me get some comments on this. One, it does work, and I don't have a Bluetooth Braille display. And so because of that, I don't really speak about it much, but it does work with many, many, many Bluetooth Braille displays, as well as giving audio feedback, correct?
Yes.
And how does it do? What's the experience like?
It's very good. There are two modes that you can use Braille in. One is called speech emulation mode, which pretty much echoes whatever mobile Geo says, speaks. And the other one is Braille format, which kind of ignores what Geo says but reads what's on the screen, which is kind of cool.
Ooh, that is nice.
Yeah, so what you get, then you can actually mute mobile Geo if you want to. I mean, or mute mobile speak if
right.
you want to.
Okay.
You'll still be able to have the Braille, and you know you can read my Brilliant is a 24 character display.
Okay.
So, as you can imagine, there's a lot of rapping that has to go on, you know,
right.
like on stage. You know?
yeah, that's a good one. Good one, Dave.
but you get all the same information, and you can get it in whatever grade Braille you set it to. So if you want computer Braille or grade 1 or grade 2 or...
That's wonderful.
Or 8.grade1 or 8.grade2 or 8.computer Braille or German or French or Italian or whatever
My
your
goodness.
Braille tables are that you've got. You can set that all up in mobile speak and... get customize your Braille output, set it to your liking, and it's really nice because you know it's very fast, very you know for me it's very responsive,
okay,
and I can see at a glance what's going on, rather than having to, listen to something, it can be actually faster.
Which Braille display do you use?
I have a Brilliant 24. It's a HumanWare product.
And it works very well you can vouch for it working well with Mobile Geo?
Yeah, it works very well.
That's good. Now, another thing we wanted to cover, and Jim, you can weigh in on this, is about the maps. I get questions all the time about different ways of getting the maps. And maybe you can give everybody a kind of a short explanation of how that works.
The maps are all downloadable from the Sendero website. So... you don't need to worry about keeping backups of all your maps. You can just go to the computer, download maps for the state that you want or the number of states that you want, and then you just upload them to the device, whatever device you're using. So it's just as simple as that. It only takes a few minutes. You don't have to worry about using CDs or anything like that. And when you purchase Mobile Geo, you'll get a username and password so that you can get onto the website and download the maps. The other thing you can do is download additional point of interest files so that you can have updated points of interest.
That's good. And I want to make it very clear that when a person buys Mobile Geo, that it comes with the map of their home country, correct?
Yeah, they can download maps for their home country.
Okay, that's good. And so and then when new maps become available, a person can go back to the website and continue to upgrade the map. So that's
that's probably more of a licensing
Right.
So it depends on what the current is, I guess, with humanware as far as lead.
Right, that's where that goes. Good point.
You mean Sundero?
Sundero, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you meant. Sorry, yeah. Yeah, Courtney, that's good, yeah.
They're affiliated with humanware.
Yeah.
Here's something that some people will want to know. In case you don't know what Sundero is, and we've been talking about Sundero, the important thing about maps is that the maps for Mobile Geo are based on the
Teleatlas.
That's good. Now, so we got the maps, and I want to make this clear. I know we get a lot of times when people ask the question, certainly people using wireless devices, do they need or is a data plan required in order to make use of Mobile Geo? And I want to, you guys, each of you can respond in time. My impression is that you don't, because this is totally independent of a cell signal. This is going directly from the GPS receiver to the satellites and the software. Is that correct?
It depends. For the map, you definitely do not need a data plan, unlike the Wayfinder, I think.
Mm-hmm.
As we just said, the maps are downloaded manually to your device. I think some of the other mainstream GPS programs, like on the phone, like Sprint Nav and all those, they use
a cell system. I understand, but for mobile
right,
geo,
right.
It's very important that, because I know a lot. Data plans can be expensive, and there are a lot of people out there who, especially with the way the economics are around the world, they want to make sure they don't buy more than they can afford. So when you get the mobile geo and you have your GPS receiver, it's not imperative or necessary that you have a unlimited data plan, because this is not going to go over over the cell signal.
That's right.
In fact, you don't even need a phone.
I was going to say, you don't even need a phone.
You can use a PDA, like one of the devices.
Yeah, like an X51 or
Good point, guys.
So you don't even need a telephone, or you don't even need a cell phone plan. You can use an over the counter PDA,
okay,
and there's a wide variety of them out there, and use it that way. So
anything that's supported by mobile speak, except Symbian,
right,
will accept Mobile Geo.
That's right.
Okay.
Anything that runs on a Windows Mobile platform.
Which reminds me that this is compatible with Windows Mobile 5, 6, and 6.1. I want to make that very clear, because, I'm one of these people who only talk about the latest operating system, but it's important that you don't have to upgrade to 6 or 6.1, although I personally did. But if you have Windows 5, running Mobile 5, you're going to be just fine also.
Yes, in general, that's true. However, if you have the opportunity to make the upgrade, there are some significant enhancements that that will improve your experience with Mobile Geo if you do make the upgrade, especially if you're using Bluetooth headsets and Bluetooth receivers.
That's a good point.
With your device.
That's a good point. We've been talking about Bluetooth, and I have a question. Is there a limit to how many devices you can have on the Bluetooth? You may not know the answer, but the reason I say this is because, if you have an external receiver, that's one Bluetooth device. And now if you have a Braille keyboard, that's two Bluetooth devices. Now, if you're using Braille, I guess it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to need audio feedback, but let's assume you did. David, have you experimented with that, or Courtney, have you experimented with what the limit is?
As David was just saying, it's always best. If everything is compatible, my rule of thumb typically is always upgrade to the latest. Reason being, based on what you're just asking, the latest Bluetooth standard allows more parallel devices.
Okay, more devices. Okay.
So I think with 2.0, it's about, 6 or 8. So
really? 6 or 8 devices?
I hope you wouldn't have 6 or 8 devices running around on your phone.
Yeah, no, I know. But I didn't realize the number was that high.
Yeah, so that's for the most part, shouldn't be an issue, especially with Bluetooth 2.0 standard.
The routes you can do, you can do pedestrian and you can do motorized. There are a bunch of different ways you can set your route and have it announced. I don't want to get...
No, but know, what you're basically... I just want to make sure we get out to people that, you know, one, you can actually, you can save your roots, name them, edit them, delete them. This is what I'm doing. And you can make the roots, we're saving them. This is, you know, kind of the general idea. Can one specify the points or how they want a route to be? I know that in a lot of the mainstream GPS devices, you know, you put point A and point B, and it tells you how to get there, and that's it. Can you adapt
there's
that?
There's a feature called, I think, follow route sequentially. Or you can, there are multiple ways of how you can handle your route.
That's good. So you're totally customizable. If you don't want to go a certain way, certainly, because I don't know about the smaller towns, but in the big cities, I know a lot of times the GPS devices will give you the worst possible, it may be the shortest way, but with the way traffic is, or, you know, construction, whatever's going on, it's not necessarily the way you want to go.
Yeah, I misspoke, actually. It's called create manual route or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Terminology. So you can actually create a manual route.
Okay, that's good. That's very good. Jim?
I guess as has been mentioned, there's a lot of different ways that you can create routes.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I think is really fantastic with Mobile Geo is that if you're in, especially in an area that you're not familiar with, and you create a route to a destination that you're not familiar with, you start walking in the wrong direction, you're not going to get too far before Mobile Geo would turn around and go the other way.
That's a good point. It lets you know when you're off course. That's a good point. Yeah.
And so it will do its best to make sure that you get started in the right direction. And I think that's very important. Another thing that I think is really nice is that what is called the getting warmer feature, where you can set a destination. And then, let's say you generally know which way to go, and you can just start walking toward the destination, and Mobile Geo, will give you announcements every few seconds, to tell you how far you are away from your destination. So as the number gets smaller, you know you're getting closer. A really nice way of using that is, let's say that you use the city buses a lot, and you're not really sure, the route that the bus is, taking. You can set the getting warmer feature for a destination and just listen to it. And as it gets pretty close, you'll have a pretty good idea when to get off the bus. So there's, you know, you can set routes. Another nice thing about the routes is, that you can review the route before you actually, travel the route. And each, point along the route, will be listed in a list box. You can use your up and down arrow keys on your device to read, and so you'll have a pretty good idea of where you need to go before you actually set out on your route.
That's really nice. Now, before we go, I want to make sure, I thought each of us would go through to tell people how we use Mobile Geo primarily on a day-to-day basis, and I'll go first on this one. I find that I use Mobile Geo the most to get addresses of places in my neighborhood that I might need. Usually the same complaint letters, just kidding. But just to know where they are. If somebody says I need to go to, I'm going to say this, KFC, for example, I may not remember where it's located, so I will definitely use Geo to look up a POI in my neighborhood, in this case, Kentucky Fried Chicken or something. And it will... Again, it will, you know, give me the address and the phone number, and I usually call them and say, what time do you close? It's just a nice way. Obviously, there are a lot of mainstream resources for such a thing, but for me, it's very, very comfortable to use Geo, and I can't imagine not having it. So that's the primary way I use Mobile Geo. Courtney?
Yeah, I use it pretty much for everything that I can, you know, to make it more convenient to get to stuff. I use it on the bus. As I was saying earlier on, you know, so I would plot a route, you know, to my destination, and I might be working in emails or being on the internet, and I have my route going in the background. I can check my current location, and, you know, knowing where I am at all times. I also use it in virtual mode where, you know, like I might be going somewhere, and I'm like, okay, I want to scope out the area. So, you know, set my virtual position, and you know, to that location and see what's around me, get an idea of the streets, points of interest and stuff like that. Or even here, you know, I might want to find a restaurant or something, so I look it up as a poi, and which, in a sense, is my own 411 in my pocket.
Right, it's wonderful. Now, can you look up things? Let me stop you. Can you look up things in categories? Can you, let's say you don't know the name of a restaurant, can you actually look in, say, restaurant or bank or ATM? Does it allow you to do that?
Yes, exactly. So there's there are two poi search functionality currently built in. So there's an advanced where you can actually specify the distance, your starting distance, ending distance, the category, subcategory, and you can actually type in a string. Okay, so I want restaurant and maybe, I don't know, Burger King.
Right.
So I would type Burger King as part of the name, or burger, you know, I'm lazy, so part of the string. And
right.
Then, you know, just enter, you know, and then I'll get the closest Burger King.
That's amazing.
Scroll down to that particular, the one I want, then enter on it, and you know, just enter all the way through. Then you could, you know, you get a pop-up asking you, do I want to, you know, create a destination or whatever, or you know, call. So you know, I can easily call it right from right there. No need to get a note taker to write down the phone number or anything like that.
It's wonderful.
It's just a powerful, you know, intuitive device.
It really is. Yeah, that's one of them. Now, Jim, how about you?
I use Mobile Geo, as you mentioned, like a set of yellow pages right in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I walk anywhere, I just turn it on, especially in areas that I don't normally go, and I just listen to what the points of interest are in that area. I create a lot of routes with it, and to get to different places. One thing that I do, sometimes somebody will call me, this happens actually more often than you might think,
okay,
and ask me, how do I get to such and such place? And so I can just pull out Mobile Geo and then create a route and tell them exactly what they need to do. And so I use it that way as well. I will often, if I'm riding on a bus or in the car, I'll have Mobile Geo on and maybe following a route or maybe just listening to points of interest as we go by, and I'll have a book from audible.com or something like that playing in the background. And so I can listen to the book, and then when something comes up, I can hear it, and it doesn't really interfere with listening to the Audible book. So I use it in a variety of ways. I think it's probably one of the most fantastic products to hit the market for people who are blind or visually impaired in years.
Agreed. And since we got you on this, what about the rain? I'm thinking about this weather. I don't think it's rained in California for at least 6 months to a year. Let me ask you this: Does rain affect the reception or the accuracy?
Rain and snow and that sort of thing will affect your satellite reception, but you're usually you're not going to lose satellite reception in bad weather. I've used GPS in a wide variety of weather conditions, and I've never lost a signal. Sometimes my accuracy is a little bit decreased. It just as an example, for people who live in really cold climates, and during the winter there's a lot of snow, and if you're out walking during a snowstorm, the road is all covered with snow, and it's maybe a little bit windy and the snow's flying down.
Yeah.
You know, sounds are muffled, you're losing a lot of your normal landmarks that you would normally have because they're all covered up with snow.
Snow, yeah.
And
wow.
So yeah. you can create your own point of interest. So you can create a point of interest for your home, just call it home or whatever you want to call it. And then if you happen to pass your driveway, you will know because Mobile Geo will tell you. you can keep all the equipment, you know, you can keep your phone in your pocket so that it, you know, is protected from the weather.
Yeah. Sadie, I'm sorry, Jim, what's the problem with Skype here? Repeat that last sentence.
I say there are some pretty significant advantages for people who especially live in colder climates.
Yeah, no, it does sound like a true advantage. David, how do you use it primarily?
Well, since we're talking about reception and stuff, I thought I'd throw in...
Okay, yeah, throw it in, throw it in.
in case people need to know, if you live in a canyon, and what I'm talking about here is an area where, you know, where you're in between massive, tall buildings,
mm-hmm.
skyscrapers, that's called a canyon, your reception is likely not going to be very good if possible at all. There's other things that can affect, I mean, you can be affected by, for example, if you live, in a big wide open area where there aren't any streets, you know, it's going to be hard to get any meaningful information, you know, in terms of, the kinds of things you might want, like, you know, what street you're on or what intersection is closest and that sort of thing.
That's a good point. I found that to be the case at the beach, when I go down to the beach.
Yeah, you're near the water.
Ocean, Pacific Ocean, 2 feet of, yeah.
that is true. I'll point out that if you are, let's say you're camping, you can take your mobile geo with you, set a point of interest right at your campsite. Then you can wander off as far as you want to go, makes no difference. And then use the getting warmer feature to get back to your point of interest.
Assuming your battery doesn't die, right? You wouldn't want your battery to die, something like that. That would not be good.
So what I do is I don't do anything real special with it. I mean, I use it as a Yeller Pages, mm-hmm. and I use it a lot in pedestrian type situations. I was thinking as Jim was talking, you know, I get calls from people asking me how to get from one place to another sometimes. So I'll just, you know, make a route and, you know, and give it to them. I've been contemplating comparing it with MapQuest to see, what kind of deviations we get.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of interesting.
I haven't thought of MapQuest in years. How's it do?
I've done it before.
To get the time and date and battery status of the phone, because it's right on the front of Mobile Geo is the date and time and the phone battery status.
Wow, I didn't realize that last part about the date and time. I've looked at everything else, but I kind of
that
date and time. That sounds good. So I mean, it looks like, and you know, if we draw to a conclusion, it sounds like we're all thinking this is a great product. I mean, we've used it. We all use it. It was definitely worth it to us, right? You gentlemen would agree.
It's part of history.
That's well said. Ooh, I like it. Say, would you say it's part of history?
I'm a part of history.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mark, what's his name? Dean?
The next revolution
in blind technology, right? Blind time technology. That's Taylor, gentlemen. TAYLOR, and that's Mark with a K. Thank you very much. Just for those of you who are writing down the history, just so you get me right. From Louisville, Kentucky.
We left that mark on it.
Move. Very smooth.
One thing that we might want to point out, Mark, mm-hmm. is that we've been talking a lot about some pretty significant features of Mobile Geo, but the fact of the matter is that it's a very simple product to use. There's a lot of features, but it's set up so intuitively that almost anybody can use it.
That's a good point. It's a very good point, Jim. I guess one could be like all these features, all the commands, and I don't want. Yeah, we don't want to scare anybody off, because if you don't need some of these things, it's not there. You only have the most basic of what you need when you need it.
Yeah, and thing to note is that current MSP users will be used to the layout, especially like the touchscreen type,
Touchscreen interface, yeah.
Exactly, where you can just tap the, you know, zone on the screen and you're told, like, the most important, like, your position, as I was saying earlier. You just tap the top left of the screen and that's your position. I mean, how easy does it get?
I don't know, but I tell you, that touchscreen thing seems like magic to me. I'm a smartphone user. That just seems like magic.
And if you're used to the number, you know, using the number pad to do MSS functions, it has a similar type interface that has numbers that you can use to do different things with.
Right.
What's nice about it is it's a product that can be as simple as you want or as sophisticated as you want.
Well said. One more thing before we go, and that is, what about battery power, gentlemen? I haven't noticed any truly significant, but is it going to make a difference in a device's battery level, how long the battery goes, or have you noticed anything like that?
It will vary in, you know, different factors. I mean,
but it will impact the device, is that right?
The internal GPS, for one, probably will eat up a bit more battery, but it's not, for me, it's not as significant as you might think. I mean,
well, because you got the mogul. You got that mogul, buddy. you got the big boy.
Well, I think one thing you have to consider is that if you use Mobile Geo extensively,
mm-hmm.
And you don't allow your phone to go to sleep, that's gonna have an impact on your battery.
Mm-hmm. Good point, David. Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
The other thing is, if you have a device where you can get an extended life battery, that's what I would recommend if you plan to use Mobile Geo for extended periods of time.
That's good advice. That's good advice. Those extended batteries, the phone doesn't look cool after that. They look like they're fat and bloated.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess that's the difference. You know, you have to make a decision about how cool you're going to look versus how functional you're going to be.
I think I'd rather be cool and lost than to be not cool and sound.
Yeah, but in reality, though, I mean, how long are you going to be using Geo within one day? You know, like, I typically take about an hour to get home every day,
mm-hmm.
40 minutes or so, and I'm still at 80%. If I didn't use my phone,
right?
So you know, it depends on of course, if you're going to use it 5-6 hours, you better be in a car or something with a charger plugged in.
That's a good point.
Hopefully not driving.
I guess,
or you can get a USB power charger type.
Oh yeah, there are always workarounds. I just want to make sure people would realize that you may notice, and I think you will notice some definitely in battery life when you start to use Geo, certainly on an extensive level. So.
Right.
I cannot say that I've ever had Mobile Geo cause my phone battery to go flat.
Me neither.
Neither can I. That's good.
I think one thing we need to note, some of these limitations we're talking about will apply to any GPS.
Regardless of, that's a good point. Well said, Courtney. Yeah,
like
that's a good point.
The weather conditions and all, it will affect even a commercial GPS.
And your GPS battery can die too, so that's almost a plus for having an internal, but... The one thing I want to mention for mountain climbers is it does give you altitude as well.
Oh yeah, so, thank you. I forgot about that. That's a very good point. And I'll tell you one thing I like Mobile Geo for is if I'm in a car and I'm asking the driver how fast are you going, like, I'm going 40. No, you're not. You're going 75 miles an hour. No. Don't try and fool me. And they go, how did you know that? I'm like, wouldn't you like to know? Because, you know, I got the Bluetooth on, so you can't tell what's going on. So it makes things a little bit more interesting, believe me.
Yes, that's a good point that you made, Mark. With this equipment, you can keep it all... In your shirt pocket or wherever, so
very private. Yeah,
it's really not noticeable to the passerby.
No,
unless of course you're wearing a headset, but that's a pretty common thing for people nowadays is to wear a headset when they're walking.
Absolutely.
So,
go ahead, Courtney.
Based on what David just said, actually, that's another interesting point because Geo is running on a mainstream device. It doesn't look. Unusual.
So you mean, are you suggesting that it might look cool, Courtney?
I like that it looks cool, you know. You know, I mean, let's face it, that primarily assistive technology devices are pretty bulky.
It's pretty bulky.
Yeah,
exactly. It's true.
And, I mean, that's just a fact. It's not
It's true.
Flashing or anything. It's just, and also it's typically either proprietary, the hardware is tend to be outdated
very quickly.
Kind of stuff,
yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean,
with Geo, with anything from Code Factor, you're always going to be on the cutting edge of technology. One more thing, and I find this interesting. I was in a store the other day, and I was waiting for somebody, and I had my phone, had the Bluetooth, and this is just mobile speak, and I was doing some text messaging. Well, obviously, if I have the Bluetooth, I can hear it in my ear. And people were walking past me, and they were waving, and then one of the people in the store said, you know, something wrong, or you're not waving back. I said, I can't see it, but we see you looking at your phone. I went, oh, no, I'm hearing the phone, but it looked like I was looking down at the phone. It always cracks me up when, you know, it can get you in some trouble. So if you look too, too, people may get the wrong. You got to remind, no, I'm listening to the phone. Yeah.
I'd like to make one more point about the hardware.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, if you have, if you use a Braille Node GPS or some of the other devices like that, they do run on dedicated hardware. And if something happens and you're out of your warranty period, you're out a lot of money.
You're done when you send it in for repair.
With the mobile GPO, since it's running on a standard commercial device, over-the-counter device, and you know, I always recommend to people that they purchase the extended warranty plan, which is, you know, just $3 or $4 or $5 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Then, if something happens to your device, you're not really out anything because they replace your device, and you can download the software again from the Code Factory website. And there you go. You're running again, and that's because of the user centered licensing Code Factory is have this significant advantage.
Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me, and I hope to be able to talk to you and continue beta testing with you and help you.
If you enjoyed this introduction to Mobile Geo, for more information about Mobile Geo, Mobile Speak, or any other Code Factory offerings, please go to www.codefactory.es, or you can send an email to sales@codefactory.es. This is Mark Taylor reminding you to make a joyful noise this week, and I'll see you back here soon. Take care. Bye-bye.